Hi everyone, welcome back to another PNTT preview podcast. I'm Coach Bills, joined by Coach Future Star. Coach, how you doing?
All right, ready to go.
Excellent. We are going to cover the Reber Group in this podcast, named after dearly departed Peter Reber. Makes it sound like he died, but I think he's just moved on to the NBA, most likely. From Hot Springs, the Strollers. He was a starter for them last year, and they are the number one seed in this group. So we'll start with them. They had a great run in the NTT last year, made the Elite Eight before falling by, I think, three to the eventual champion in Carson City. So really nice performance from them. They did lose their consolation games after that, but regardless, certainly a successful season, and Reber was a big part of it. He had their best numbers, at least overall in terms of per game, per 30, you could question that, but he was really good, almost 19 points a game on very efficient numbers. He was one of two starters who graduated for them, Ben Johnson, the small forward, the other. So those two guys are out the door. In is a freshman class ranked 64 hardwood, 68 sim hoops, led at least statistically by Daniel Lin, who looks like potentially a good replacement for Johnson at the small forward spot, at least offensively. Defensively, I would have some question marks about him. Also, Albert Zimmerman is among the freshmen, 14 points per 30 minutes as a 6-foot guard. He was pretty efficient as well. Not sure if he could really handle a point guard spot, but decent defensively as well. And of course, the team has some good talent coming back. Marquez Nichols was very good for them at the point guard spot last year. James Gentile was at shooting guard. And then Adnan Armstrong is coming back at the center position. So a team that had a lot of success, graduated two of its better players, brings in a decent class. What do you think about this group, Coach?
Yeah, they're a team that was definitely on the rise after, the string of PTT and even an RTT appearance. Made an NTT appearance a couple seasons ago, eliminated in the first round, maybe a little early for them, but they made it, like you said, they made a great run last year to all the way to the Elite Eight. Now, the question is, can they repeat something like that after losing arguably their best player in Peter Reber? Not only was he their leading scorer, but he was kind of a key cog for them in terms of a guy who had some size, of which they do not have a ton of. They have some, and they're not overly small throughout the lineup, but they do lack some size in the post. And so I think that's where the question for this team is going to come.
Yeah, absolutely. We were talking during a different group preview podcast about the concept of shot blocking and how that matters. And this is another team that didn't block a lot of shots last year, 5.3 blocks per game. And despite that, they did have a lot of success. So obviously it's a team that has a high ceiling, but you wonder how the pieces will fit together when Reber's not there and Johnson is gone as well. So as you said, it's not as if this team has been in the NTT in the later rounds of it, year in and year out. It's a 2-year NTT run for them after a few RTT and PTT seasons. Certainly it's a team that has been known within the PNTT. They've been around and been in the playoffs some. So it's a good team, but I don't know necessarily if I would predict a return to the Elite Eight for this group.
Right. Like you said, they lose Johnson and Reber. Daniel Lin does look like a logical fit at small forward to replace Johnson. But also, as you said, the defense is a little bit of a question there. The defense, not as much of a question with Zimmerman and White, but they have other questions to fill. And Zimmerman being 6 feet tall, he's not going to, unseat Marquez Nichols at point guard. So he's probably looking at a backup role. William White, if you actually look, he looked like a guy who potentially, has some talent, but the scoring's just not there. Everything else looks pretty good. Had pretty great numbers, elsewhere as a 6'7" center, but not quite sure where that fits on this roster, because scoring is going to be the main issue, I think. They might be able to bring in Isaac Huerta, who played 12 minutes per game last year, was very efficient and probably deserving of a starting spot. You bring him in, it probably adds some offense. Again, like we said, with the shot blocking and the interior defense, that's probably where this team is going to find it difficult.
Yeah, sounds about right. I was going to bring up Huerta if you didn't. He was really terrific for them. I wouldn't be surprised if he slides into that small forward spot. And maybe Lynn even stays on the bench. Who knows what his defense is like. But as you mentioned, White can do the other things besides score. And it would be a drop for them offensively to go down to three scorers in the starting lineup instead of four. But who knows? It might be the right balance for them to get a little bit more defense in the starting lineup and hope that Nichols and Gentile, along with Huerta, can handle the scoring. So we shall see how they do. We'll talk about their number two seed in this group next. That is the Inglewood Igloo Makers out of Conference 27, coached by Coach Mick Vicker. He didn't make it to the NTT last year. They were in the PNTT, or excuse me, the PNTT, made the Sweet 16 of that tournament after having been in the NTT the year before and for a while having been in the NTT most seasons. The big news for them is the graduation of Grant Schaefer, who was a star for them as a senior last year, scored almost 25 points for 30 minutes, had great overall numbers. He was playing small forward at 6'7". He is out, but the good news is they bring in another hardwood class. So that one with Schaefer was 33 hardwood, 123 sim hoops. This class is 9 hardwood, 24 sim hoops. It's not immediately obvious who the star of their freshman class is. It looks like it's probably Brandon Rigsby, the guy who scored about 15 points a game and was very efficient, had a nice game score. I do think Joe Brower was another reasonably sought-after recruit, 6'6 small forward, but his stats aren't quite as good. He could help potentially as well. And then among the returners, Javin Gar, point guard last year, had some really good numbers, scoring over 20 points a game and actually having 2.2 steals per 30 minutes as well. So certainly the cupboard is not bare here, but I do wonder if even a good player like Rigsby can fill the shoes that Grant Schaefer has departed.
Right. Their class that they brought in has some talent. I'm not entirely sure, but I think when I kind of zip through the Coach V's signing day broadcast, I believe Coach McVicker said that Brower's numbers were a little bit disappointing when he saw them. The third recruit, David Lucy, he might be a walk-on. I'm not entirely sure about that. Either way, it looks like he's not going to factor in. Like I said, yeah, losing a guy like Schaefer is tough. They do have quite a bit of scoring. Other than that, you know, I think Gar and Watson will be able to score, as well as Scarborough, who scored a decent amount of points off. Let's see, is that right? Okay, well, I guess he provided a little bit of offense off the bench, not a ton. Last year, one thing that kind of stands out to me is they, despite the fact that they had 6'10 and 6'9 in the starting lineup, they were actually out rebounded. I think that a lot of that is because he loaded his entire starting lineup with all his size and was pretty small on the bench, and also over 12 turnovers a game, which is kind of tough to stomach in this league.
Yeah, those are some good points. Yeah, out rebounded among offensive rebounds alone by 13.1 to 10.1, and then as you say, in the overall numbers, they were out by about 1 or 1.1. Frankly, I mean, looking through the team, it looks like a pretty good coaching job to get up to number 38 in the final power rankings last year. But I do imagine that Schaefer had a lot to do with that, you know, just one of the best players game in and game out. So that's where I would be concerned for them, that even if they brought in some talent, and maybe at some point it'll kind of equalize, there are certain guys that it's just very difficult to replace almost no matter who you bring in. And I wonder if Schaefer could be a guy like that, but they'll certainly be competitive. They are season in and season out, and they play in a good conference, so they won't be an easy out for sure.
Yep. Yeah. And Brandon Rigsby is a very good player. So while he may not have quite the impact as Schaefer, he probably will fit in just fine at either power forward or center. They're going to be a little short on the bench again, it appears, because they just don't have a lot of options. So they're just going to have to try and maximize the minutes of their starters.
Right. Let's move on to the three seed. That is Sumter. They were in the PTT last year as a 12 seed, won a game and finished 24th in that tournament. The good news for them is that they graduated a senior class ranked 227 hardwood, 223 sim hoops. The bad news is they brought in a freshman class with very similar rankings, 210 hardwood, 223 sim hoops. So it was a great opportunity for them to improve. Unfortunately, I'm not sure that they capitalized on it with recruiting. And among those seniors there was a starter. It was Ethan Manning, who played center for them last year. And they brought in some big guys in the freshman class, too. The one that I mentioned that wasn't ranked so well, Jaquez Best, looks like a solid big guy who was playing power forward in high school and had some pretty good defensive numbers considering that position. So he could be a factor on the defensive side of the ball, at least. And overall, it's a team that with just a fair amount of decent talent, it looks like. I mean, some balanced scoring last year in the starting lineup. They had four guys average essentially between 12 and 15 points per game. The point guard, Tyler Johnson, was right at 11.9. And then at least if you look at the highest number, it was Carlos McMullen, the sophomore, who was at 15. So it's not as if they lean on any one guy, which can be a good thing, but they don't have a star. And they just weren't a very explosive team last year. They played a pretty tough schedule, had some decent defense that I think they can replicate with Best filling in for Manning. But I don't know if they're really primed to take too much of a step forward.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, they just look like they're kind of, you know, lacking a little dynamic ability. They have guys that can score. But nobody that can really be counted on. I mean, no one was particularly efficient. Brian Stevenson, their small forward, being the most efficient at 56% true shooting. Maybe he needs to be taking a few more shots as opposed to feeding some of the guards who are much lower efficiency. So maybe just, you know, kind of picking and choosing your weapons a little more wisely, maybe would get a little more offensive production out of this team. But overall, he said they're just kind of lacking a little bit in overall talent. They were kind of a mid-range PTT team last year. And looking at their overall roster this year, it kind of feels like probably about the same thing this year.
Yeah, I see it the same way. I think it was not a bad effort last year to get to the PTT and win a game, finishing 99 in the power rankings. That could easily envision them being somewhere similar this year. So that's always kind of a bummer, right? When you're about to graduate that class that's been weighing you down. I mean, you experienced this in the good way, right? You had a class you didn't love, senior class, and then that's an opportunity. You're going to really improve your team, and it worked out for your team. And unfortunately, it just didn't work out that way for Sumter, at least based on these preemptive evaluations.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, at least the one bright spot is there is some size in the freshman class. And so if mm-hmm. you're going to get three just kind of average-ish players, I mean, I'd rather have three tall, mediocre players than three short, mediocre players. So you're not going to get completely manhandled. They can improve a few things. They can improve, you know, maybe some of the size on their bench, help the rebounding. I think Best looks like a pretty decent defender. I mean, to get 2.4 blocks at power forward is actually pretty strong. So if you put him at center, whether it's starting or backup, you know, he's going to provide some quality rim protection. So that'll help on the defensive end. But like I said, just the offense is a question. So I think they need to, they're even a little bit short in the backcourt. A 6'1" shooting guard is, you know, is usually in pretty tough against most teams. So I think they need to maybe find some offense elsewhere and maybe kind of distribute the shots a little bit differently.
All makes sense to me. Let's move on to the four seed in this group, the Huntington Beach Oxen out of Conference 20. They were in the PTT last year as a 15 seed, lost in the first round. And I was all set to say, oh, they were in the PTT after having a nice run of NTT appearances. And that's somewhat true, but it's been a little longer than I thought it was since they were in the NTT. It's actually six straight PTTs now for them after a nice long run from season 20 through 29. They were in the NTT every season but one. But in the 30s, it's really been PTT consistently for them. So they are itching to get back to the big tournament, I'm sure. And the good news for them is they do have a star, unlike a team like Sumter that we just talked about, with a lot of sort of middling players. Huntington Beach has Seth Johnson, who played power forward for them last season at 6'7", averaged 18.9 points a game, about seven rebounds. Really nice defensive stats, 2.2 steals and 1.2 blocks. So he's coming back for his junior season, and that's a good thing. They also had a pretty productive player at the point guard spot in James Lee, who was a freshman for them last year, had six assists and 2.1 steals. So those guys are back, and the good news is the team got bigger. They graduated a senior class with no starters, 6'2", 6'7", on the bench, and then a 6'6", NA, and brought in a decently ranked freshman class. It's 75 hardwood, 120 sim hoops, full of three big guys, 6'8", 6'10", 6'11". Ishmael Morris being the biggest of those guys and with the best overall numbers. 11 and a half points per 30 minutes, almost 11 rebounds, two blocks as well. And then Jordan Darby at 6'10 with 2.2 blocks and pretty similar points and rebound numbers as well. So Johnson may even be able to benefit from moving down, playing small forward as opposed to power forward this year. And I don't know whether Tahir Hernandez will have to vacate his spot in the starting lineup or not. He was the center for them last year. But among this group of three, Morris, Darby, Gaines, you figure at least one of those guys, if not two, will find their way in the starting lineup. Does that seem right to you, Coach?
Yeah, absolutely. Out of all the teams in this group, this Huntington Beach team looks like the one that's most poised to take a big jump up from their previous results. You know, like you said, they've been a PTT team for a few seasons now with this new influx of size. I mean, yeah, the game scores don't look that great for all three players, but there's some decent size. I think Morris, looking at his scouting report, I think he's probably a better player than the numbers would indicate. And at 6'11", being quality defender who can rebound, chip in a little offensively, that's going to just help everyone. Like you said, Seth Johnson, probably at 6'7", not a natural power forward, kind of held his own, but probably a little overmatched there against most teams. Him at small forward or even shooting guard, if you want to go that way, would make for a pretty formidable lineup. I could even see all three of these freshmen starting and just going pretty big in the starting lineup and allowing Johnson to take advantage of some matchups at shooting guard with his offense.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you looking at it more. I mean, Gaines, the 6'8 freshman, has a nice assist to turnover ratio. He could slide in at small forward. He's got some really good defensive numbers too. So, I mean, no disrespect to Tahir Hernandez, who did a good job at center last year. He held it down and, you know, maybe he'd be even better at power forward. Who knows? But yeah, I think it's certainly plausible that all three of these guys could start and this team could have a, you know, a sizable height advantage against most other teams.
Right. Yeah. And Dawson Bryce was their starting shooting guard last year, but, you know, just kind of so-so. It looked like he and Brendan Lopez split time, who's now graduated. So Dawson Bryce, a guy that doesn't have that starting spot locked down. He's actually only had about a game score of 8 last season. So, yeah, it would be interesting to me to see what Johnson could do at shooting guard. I'm not sure what his attributes are, if he has the athleticism or anything to do that, but I would certainly give it a try because I think these three freshmen are all deserving of a lot of playing time.
Yeah, I'm with you. And that leads to the question here. What do we think about this group as a whole? I mean, how high can Huntington Beach climb, right? They're the 4 seed, but none of these teams totally blows you away, right? I mean, maybe I'm disrespecting Hot Springs a little bit, right? They were the Elite 8. They did graduate 2 starters, but they return a lot of talent. So I think they're the deserving number one seed in this group, but I don't think you just pencil them in or write their name in pen as a playoff team necessarily in this tournament. So other than Sumter, at least for me, I wouldn't be too shocked if any team won this group. Do you think it's wide open? Do you think Hot Springs has a big edge or what do you think?
Yeah, to me, I would probably say it's between Hot Springs and Huntington Beach. I mean, Hot Springs has the talent. And if you look at their out of group schedule, they do play our Rockford team, but the other mm-hmm. three games are against teams ranked anywhere between 142 and 176 preseason. So they have a pretty easy schedule outside of group. So there might be some easy wins there for them, for a team that, despite some of their flaws, they do have a lot of talent still on that team. And like we talked about Huntington Beach, with that influx of size, they're poised to take a big jump. And similarly, they do play Nashville in one of their out-of-group games. But other than that, they play a couple teams that are ranked 100 or higher or lower, whichever way you want to look at it. So their schedule is not all that tough. So as compared to Inglewood, who faces a much tougher schedule out of group. So looking at it, I would say it's between Hot Springs and Huntington Beach for me.
Yeah, that's interesting to see the disparity in schedules. As you mentioned, Inglewood has Las Vegas ranked number 28 right now, Clemson number 40, and Clearwater number 47 as their out of group games. That is a lot tougher on paper than what Hot Springs and Huntington Beach have, because I was about to say we shouldn't count Inglewood out, certainly on talent, I think they're right there. Like I said, they've got a nice point guard coming back. Their freshman class is ranked very well. I certainly could see them ending up as, you know, maybe the best team in this group or close. But given that schedule, it is, you know, it makes me think I would lean against them as well. Ultimately, I imagine Hot Springs will be able to figure it out. I mean, they did a good job last year. They do have some talent coming back, but I think this group is fairly open, and there isn't one team that stands out as, you know, an obvious Titan.
Right. Absolutely.
All right. I think that's going to do it for this group. We'll probably be back with another group.